spin up the music.
All right, okay. Right.
And I'll start the podcast on time.
Yeah, fuck's sake, come on.
Right, that means
we're a minute late already.
Right, we're going.
Old fellas do it better.
No, we're not going. I didn't press transition. Fuck. Right, here we go.
Part Son two. Of a...
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 510 of your Overseas Connection podcast. Today is January 20th, 2019. We come to you live every week on Sundays at 1 p.m. in the West Coast, 4 p.m. on the East Coast, 3 p.m. in Central Time, and 9 p.m. in the U.K. If you don't catch us live, you can catch the recorded version of this podcast. We do post it up on iTunes and Stitcher, all the basic places you can listen to an audio podcast. You should be able to find us. But most importantly, join us live. It's fun. Twitch.tv/OC Podcast. We're also on Mixer.com/OC Podcast. And you can even watch us on YouTube. Simply put in YouTube.com/OC Podcast. Let's see. We have a fine group of gentlemen on today's podcast. We have the youngster, Phil Olson.
Good evening, Gregory. How are we today?
I'm doing fantastic. It's Sunday. There is a championship, well, I should say the conference championship football going on, in case anybody – well, nobody on this podcast cares about that. But yeah. also – on today's podcast, we have the lovely and serene Mark Wright.
Like I said, Robin is far from serene. Yes, hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. How's it going?
Yeah. Good. And also on today's podcast, we have the soon-to-be old git, Robin Tate.
Hello, my fellow podcast family. I got all my sisters with me.
Fuck off.
Robin's going to be the first one to hit 50. Just to distract from his fucking new sound effect he's made. Wanker.
Yes. Yeah, hello, everybody. It's a 40-year-old gentleman here. Yes, and this is my last ever podcast at 40 years old. Yeah. Do you know what? It's okay. Really shitty. It really is, Greg. You know,
it can't be that different than yesterday.
I don't know. It just sort of strikes you, you know, like if you haven't grown up by the time you're 50, you don't have to. You know, you've got three sets of clothes in your wardrobe. One fits you, another two you'll never ever wear again. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, life gets shorter. So why diet? Because get rid of more of yourself. You know, I don't know. It's funny. 40 wasn't so bad, but 50.
It's hit you. 50's hit you.
It's curiosity. It's a thing. Yeah. Yeah. So, what is the old adage goes? If you divide your age by 2 plus 8, yeah? So, that's what? 50 at 25, that's like 33?
33,
yeah. It's an old woman. I don't want to. Anyway, I'm doing what? I don't care. 50 schmifty. I'm glad to be on the show. I'm glad to do this stuff. And I hope
half a century. But, just saying,
but I can podcast with my family for much longer.
You should be able to, unless Mark keeps making those comments about half a century, because that will affect a number of us on this podcast. I'm Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law, OC_Murphy's Law on Twitter. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you're joining in live, again, thanks for joining in live. We have a couple announcement things to talk about. We've got some new Twitch followers. I don't know if these were updated from last time or not. I'm assuming they were.
I've done them.
Okay, perfect. Yep, Entertain Nerds Podcast. They're also a fantastic podcast to listen to, so give them a shout-out and a check-out. And then SiteZev 2000, I think I'm saying that right? SiteZev 2000?
Yeah, Brian Russo. Yeah, he's one of the older lag guys. Yeah.
Thanks for the listen, Brian. And then Twisted Basket on Podbean also following us, so cheers to them. And this is the time of the podcast where it gets a little sad, a little quiet, where we talk about everybody that has passed, I mean, getting older. Let's see.
Birthdays.
Birthdays today, tomorrow, and the following week. We've got Dave Avery and Paul Gaskell.
Woohoo! Happy birthday!
We have a certain Irish-Mexican named Robin Tate.
Peace.
We also have another podcast team member, Nicole Radowski, having her 21st birthday.
And finally,
political correspondent Eric Piotrowski, also known as Duke Scath, enjoying a fantastic birthday as well this coming Friday. So there you go. Lots of birthdays to go around.
What a week of birthdays.
So if we backtrack this, you all were conceived right around, the September time frame, if we're trying to do the backtracking of months? I think that's about right.
And if I find that man...
No, it wouldn't be September.
It's when school's going, isn't it?
Maybe. Anyway, happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Robin.
It's just another day. It's another day in a lovely life.
And just another number.
I had a nap yesterday.
It's been half a century, that's all.
So the babby was in my arms. She was having a nap, and I had a nap. A wee nap. And I went to bed at 9:30 the night before. What's going on? I'm looking for yogurt and soft slippers.
Well, that's actually, that is your own fault for taking in such a wee one. You're fostering a baby. That is one... Bravo to you and Judith, because I cannot imagine doing that right now. So that really, I think, equates more than anything to your tiredness, because babies are a lot of work.
Yeah, she's been great, but just the last week or so, she hasn't been sleeping that well. And she has been all the way through. And yeah, it's just, I was standing at the cot about 1:30 last night, and she'd sort of woke up. And I went in and stuck her dummy back in her mouth again, right?
Right.
And as I walked away, she had to see me, so she started crying again. So I had to stand above the cot for about 20 minutes until she fell back over asleep. And I don't want to stand here. I want to go to bed. Yeah, babies are great.
No, yeah, know the feeling. Colin has been reverting back to waking up somewhere between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, which it's just early enough that you can't get up because it's going to really screw your day.
Yeah.
But it's just late enough to where it impacts going back to sleep. So it's crap. Yeah. So Cindy and I have
know you'll sleep in. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been trying to take turns in that battle. But yeah. So I feel your pain, Robin. I feel your pain.
So all right. Yeah. So sorry, just to finish off, I'm being taken away. So Judith's taking me away to London this Thursday. And we had near disaster there yesterday. We got a letter, not a telephone call, a letter in from the little unit that looks after Glenn when we're away.
Oh.
To say, no, we can't do it. We've got an emergency.
Joke.
Yeah. So Judith is fuming. I they'll be feeling the edge of her tongue tomorrow. Now, I understand if it's an emergency placement they have to put in, but they would usually pick up the phone, and they haven't. Now, thankfully, there's a girl that looks after him the odd afternoon that works in his school is going to come and stay at our house for the 3 days because all the kids are being sent out and stuff. And Judith's very concerned that my 18-year-old will also be staying in the house, and this girl is 21. And she's going,
kind of history?
None whatsoever. Right. And I think, go on, Joshua, get in there. So thankfully, it's covered. Business time. Yeah. Alexa. Business time. Anyway, we are getting away, so yeah, looking forward to getting away.
It's funny you brought that up, Robin. So, you know, I know we haven't officially gone into story time yet, but we'll just wrap this up and then we'll get into official story time. So, probably about a year back, Cindy and I had an overnight weekend planned to get away. And Colin's daycare center would offer up overnights where we would be able to take him, let him stay overnight. So it was really nice, very convenient. And so we planned to do this, and we get to the daycare center, and we bring him up to the door, and the gal comes to the door, and she's like, did anybody tell you we canceled the overnight?
I remember this.
So we went into full panic mode, but we were able to actually get somebody else to do the last minute emergency stay over just like you. So yeah, completely feel the pain and the panic that sets in, because I know you have plans. You have plans. You probably can't really back out of at this point. You know,
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's restaurants. I don't know. I'm sure there's restaurants.
No, no. There was a small person rental. There is a ball and mask rental.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. Yes. Of course, my life will be complete then. I can pop my clogs. Yes.
So I know a little bit because
there's money involved. There's hope. So I'm not. Anyway.
Just so you know, I paid for the donkey dance. All right, let's get into story time, Mark.
Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day, when we gather around his great big chair
and Greg DeLacy
comes to stay.
Still, I still am not comfortable with that yet. When it's not there, I feel like it's not complete. So, go figure. All right, story time. Let's talk about what we've been doing this past week. Robin, we know your week is basically all about getting older. What else, though? What else have you been, got going on besides getting older?
Yeah.
By the way, real quick, am I the only person here noticing that the drapes and the curtains are not necessarily matching with Robin?
I can't help it. Yeah, it's gray here. There's a bit of ginger here.
I was gonna say the ginger's really coming through, but up top it's a much darker.
I don't know. What do you do? I don't know about that. The only thing that's in here is a bit of gel. That's it. It's natural fruits and berries. I suppose the only thing that I want to say is this Wednesday, season two of Robin and Judith comes back onto the airwaves. So after our tremendous weight loss last year, I've put a little bit on again. Not as much as what I was, but I have put a bit on. So we just launched a little trailer today, reviewing sort of last year's, and that's been received quite well. So next Wednesday, Robin and Judith will record again about getting fit and losing some weight. So I would, anybody that wants to join in this year, you're more than welcome to join in and do what we do, and so it gives a wee bit of support there. Want to say one thing. I've been listening to a fantastic audiobook called Black. And Black is super duper. Black is narrated by our favorite guy, which is R.C. Bray. And it's by a guy called Russell Blake. Now, it's four books in one. So it's like one of your freebies. Yeah?
Right.
And you get four books. And this guy, Black, is sort of a detective in L.A., but he's really cool and he dresses really hip in like old 20s and 30s and 40s suits sort of thing. And he's just a cool character, and I really like him. I'm onto the fourth book, and I've really, really enjoyed it. So if you're looking for something a wee bit different, maybe away from the sci-fi or whatever you're into, go and grab Black. I would thoroughly recommend Black. It's very, very, very good. Very good. Very good. And that's excellent. Me, yeah. So, yeah, all the stuff I'm getting rid of. Busy, always busy, but yeah, you are. So, you know, life, shit, tough.
Anything else?
I'm old now. You're going to have to accept that I may rant on a little bit more. Wednesday, there's... Yeah?
Did you get new glasses?
Oh, yeah. See, I had several pairs...
Right.
That I'd all lost over several weeks, so I had to go and buy some new ones because I'm mislaying stuff now. I have no idea. Wednesday. I mean, there's stuff that you... Yes, Mark. It's Mark, isn't it? So on Wednesday, there'll be a new WhatsApp group for those of you who apply and have the correct qualifications. Please contact me if you are over 50 years old. There will be a very exclusive WhatsApp chat group set up on Wednesday. Of course, Nicole will be joining it, not that when she's 22, so she won't right. be... Oh, God, dig a hole. So any of our gaming friends that are over the age of 50, please contact me and be part of the very mature WhatsApp group.
I don't know about you, Phil, but I'm going to have to wait a long time to join that group.
Well, dare I?
Oh, dear. Okay.
All right. So there's that. Thank you for that, Robin. Phil.
Where am I? Nurse! Nurse!
Phil, what have
you been up to? He needs his medication.
Well, I'm a good 4 years off 50, but I'm feeling old this week.
Nobody likes a bragger, Phil. Nobody likes a bragger.
No, I am feeling really old this week.
All right.
Being difficult to walk. I've got something wrong with my ankles. Going to see the doctor tomorrow, so I'm just feeling old. But anyway, and then we've got all the Brexit stuff, and that's depressing as hell.
And you have been quite vocal. I would like to point out, you normally are not very political in our chats, in our discussions, but I have noticed you of late have been pretty vocal about what's been going on, and I think it's hit that point, right?
It has hit that point of just, I just don't know anymore. I just don't know, don't care. I just want them to get
I just wish someone would do something. Yeah. The thought of having to vote again against it or for it is just a nightmare. Just the thought of it. Just make a decision. Carry it through. Phil, you remember the ELO concert that I went to a few months ago? And you were teasing me that there was the audience was full of mature women. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
I watched a video of yours just a few days ago when you were on your cruise, and my concert looked like it was like 18 to 30s. It was unbelievable. Mine was full of GILFs. Yours was full of GG. Great grannies. I would like to.
Let's just say that we started that cruise and it was fully booked. There was no rooms to move to. By the end of the cruise, there were 5 rooms available.
And the fridges were full. Brilliant.
Oh my.
That's not lying. So also in my old age and getting too carried away with the game, which we'll talk about later on, I've forgotten to edit and publish the latest episode of OCD&D. So
oh my God. Oh my God.
Geez for that.
Whoa.
I know. Disgraceful.
It's hard finding good help these days, I tell you.
There were six people waiting for that episode to be released.
How dare you?
Robin, 7.
It's very popular. It is very popular. It's great. I've actually listened to it. It's good fun. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the biggest things. And it's tough because we don't want to sit there and, Phil, obviously you can speak to this the best. But, I don't think we want to re-explain every time what we're doing. To a large degree. So I think for those that kind of catch it midway through or they tune into it live, sometimes it's going to not make too much sense. But we've been playing some D&D online. You've been our dungeon master. It's been a lot of fun.
And I think that's the main thing. It's just having fun. I mean, we're not sticking to rules mainly. It's just having a laugh, making out of each other.
You have been very lenient. I'm not going to lie. There were a couple times where you've done some things that I knew benefited me, yet I didn't say anything, like casting magic armor, giving me my hit points back. Shouldn't happen, but you allowed it to, and I was okay with that. I'm not going to complain because in the world of D&D, whatever the DM says goes.
That changes next season. Just
damn
saying.
It. I'm so dying.
That's it for me. And
Robin, all right.
End the video. Thank you, Robin.
Mark Wright, Luther, You've been binging Luther.
Yeah, it's been out for quite a while now. It's a BBC police drama series with Idris Elba, who stars in it. He's a great actor. And I've binge-watched all four seasons. Well, there's five seasons. I've watched all four seasons up to the latest fifth. What was that like? Oh, I'm saying that all wrong now. There's five seasons, I've watched four. I'm halfway through the fifth. And it's really good. Very, very good. There's overarching storylines.
Talking about making a film of it. Hollywood's movie. So.
Other, right, okay, yeah. Yeah.
James Bond.
Very gritty, down to earth. It's, don't pull any punches. It's quite brutal in places and that. Yeah, very good watch. Highly recommend it. Because the reason I said I've watched all four is there's four seasons on Netflix. The latest season, I didn't know there was a season five until I sort of like Googled to see if we were making any more. And they're on BBC iPlayer, so it might not be available to you guys in the States unless you use a VPN. But yeah, yeah. I didn't realise we were a fifth season. That's why I keep getting confused about four and five.
Yeah, well, that's the additional thing. It's the one digit more.
I can understand. It's like going from 49 to 50, you know? Yeah.
I tell you what's pretty gritty. The new Star Trek, I've watched the first episode of it.
I was just going to complain about this. I just wanted to complain about this. So it's good that you brought this up, Robin.
Yeah.
So talk about it real quickly in the positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I quite enjoyed that first episode. It was okay. A little confusing. I remember they did the recap of different dimensions and that girls came over and it sort of ended to be a wee bit too nice for me. That they floated off and they'll come back as baddies, like Q coming back again and whatever it is. Yes, I liked the grittiness of it. I liked the girl getting high. That was quite fun. And also the other big thing that came out this week was Punisher, the second season, and I hear it's pretty damn wow.
Yeah. So real quickly, to Star Trek. Yes. Star Trek, I believe, and again, you guys have to correct me, but I believe it's free in the UK on Sky?
No.
Or is it Netflix?
Netflix.
Netflix.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so CBS owns Star Trek Discoveries. They're the studio behind it. Hey, CBS, fuck you.
Yeah, I remember when the first season came out. Yeah, Gary Lever was going nuts.
They've locked it behind their stupid Hulu player.
Yes.
In the U.S. So it's not on Netflix in the U.S. It's only available through their Hulu subscription service, whereas you guys get it on Netflix. So, yeah.
I really enjoyed the first season. First season was really good.
We can help out there, Greg.
We can help.
Yeah. We'll talk. Speaking of things, Netflix also, by the way, they're going to crack down on sharing of passwords. So you may not be able to help me. Apparently that's been a big problem. They're now going to restrict it to only a couple devices.
Well, you say that. It's one news outlet just saying that at CES they had this software what's available. Netflix haven't said they're going to use it yet. So it's people jumping the gun. It's just headlines, clickbait.
Rumored.
Yeah.
Rumored. It's just clickbait. All right. Fair enough. Punisher Season 2. Yeah. Fantastic. I watched five episodes of it last night.
Oh, wow.
I was just like hooked. At first, when it started out, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to like this or not. And then it just kicks off and it just goes. So, I am all on board. Punisher Season 2, big thumbs up.
Is the nerdy helper guy back into it again?
Oops, not so far.
Okay. I liked him. He was good.
I did like him, but I thought in the previous Punisher, I'm like, how are they going to pull this off? Because I know Punisher is always a lone wolf character. He doesn't have a team. So I was kind of like, I don't know that it's going to work. And so I was really nervous about this season and how they were going to try and implement that. And what they decided was, at least so far, he's just parted ways. So
yeah, I'll get stuck into it this week. Sorry, one last thing. We watched a film last night. Speaking of gritty, this film is not gritty. But if you have young kids, 8 and above, and you want a wee bit of a thrill, sort of scary moment film, which isn't, it's a family scary movie, which is pretty tame and laughable all the way through, but it got a few frights from the kids, which was good fun, which is The Meg. We watched it last night, and we laughed and giggled all the way through it. But the kids had a few little moments.
I saw that at the cinema last year when we went on holiday, when we had a rainy day.
The Meg. Yeah. Oh, and one more final thing. Just came to me when I was thinking about the kids. And this is Brexit. You like this, Phil? So about a week or so ago, Taylor, who is 9, right? On the news in the background was talking about Brexit and what is Brexit and what is that, and Judith's going, well, you know, things aren't going to maybe be available, and eat up your dinner there, make sure you eat all your dinner, because all that's going to be available is beans. You know, if Brexit comes and goes the wrong way, it'll be beans, only beans, that's all you'll have. That's a week ago. Night before last, we're sitting around the dining room table having our dinner, and he goes, what if you don't like beans? So it just really got me, because I mean, it was a week later, and you think, well, yeah, what's going on in this wee boy's head? So, yeah, so everybody, we're having beans, lots and lots of beans.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Where was I? Three films. I've been out to the movies quite a bit. So there was a double feature movie day that I ended up going and seeing The Mule and Welcome to Marwen. So The Mule is the Clint Eastwood movie. It's a true story based off of a senior gentleman similar to Robin's age that was basically
get used to it, Robin. Get used to it.
He gets involved with the drug cartel running drugs in the U.S. Now, he wasn't running them from Mexico up into the U.S. He was actually picking them up in southern states in the U.S. and then transporting it up into, like, Detroit and Michigan area, you know, kind of northern U.S. Good movie. Not, like, movie of the year, but really solid movie. Clint Eastwood, boy, he is looking his age, something fierce, but he still can deliver those lines, man. He still can deliver those one-offs. And then Welcome to Marwen, if you're not familiar with this, it's Steve Carell. Steve Carell plays the main character. It's another true story, or based on a true story, of a gentleman who was beaten brutally in a bar fight. And he had been an illustrator, a comic illustrator, if you will. And after the beating, basically, he can't draw anymore, but he still has the artistic talents. So he resorts to creating action figures using basically dolls to set up these World War II scenes that he takes pictures with his camera. Ooh. And he also kind of reenacts in his head using these characters, and it's a coping mechanism for what has happened to him. It was actually a really good movie. It got knocked in by the critics a lot.
Was there a documentary about this guy a few years ago? I remember seeing
I believe there was. Yes. Yeah. His name.
Savant is the wrong word, but he did have a little, lacking. I can get away with it now. He wasn't the fool shilling.
No. And that was largely part because he lost all of his previous memories through the beating. He literally could not remember his past life. So, he only really had kind of memories moving forward and short-term memory that was available to him. So it was a good movie. I would recommend it probably on DVD or when it comes out to a DVD. That's an antiquated term. When it comes out on streaming, definitely check it out. And then I saw Bird Box with Sandra Bullock on Netflix finally.
I still haven't seen this. I need to watch this.
It's a good movie. I will say the one knock I had on it is I wanted some better explanations. And I will not say anything further, but that was my one knock to the movie. Overall, I liked it. Also, to all the idiots out there trying to do Bird Box challenges, you are fucking idiots. that's all I'll say to that.
Maybe I should do that.
There you go. Bird Box Challenge.
Podcasting the Bird Box Challenge.
I've seen all the Bird Box memes, which are quite funny. A lot of them political.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They definitely have...
Shit, this is...
It's basically like The Quiet Place, but instead of audio, it's visual. Is that the sort of thing?
Sort of.
All right.
Sort of, yes.
Shit, what's she doing? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was just watching the trailer, and now the woman's just headbutting a window.
So, last but not least, I listened to the audiobook, Alien Out of the Shadows.
Oh, that was a freebie.
So this is a Audible Prime member original that they include as part of the freebies with Audible. It's a really well done book in terms of it almost feels like you are listening to a movie because they spent a lot of money on sound effects. They got either Sigourney Weaver or a sound alike for her in the game to play Ripley. She makes an appearance, and
do you know where they got all the sound effects from?
Don't say it.
Mm-hmm.
No, Aliens, Colonial Marines.
It follows the story of that game. It's fantastic.
No, it actually does not follow the story of that game. What it does follow, though, is what happens after Aliens, the in-between Aliens, well, this movie, or book, takes place between the movie Aliens and the movie Aliens 3 Resurrection. I liked it enough. Obviously, it was free, so I didn't feel like I, you know, was paying anything. I felt like they just kind of reshape Aliens into this book in a lot of ways. I found myself constantly being like, "Man, this sounds just like the plot of Aliens." At times, they just tweak it and change it a little bit here and there. So. But I kind of have a feeling that's been the case for all of the Alien movies kind of moving forward. They don't have a lot of originality to them. They kind of go back to tried and true forms of the successful Alien and Aliens.
We'll see.
But hey, if you have Prime, it's worth checking out. I really did find the production quality of this book better than pretty much anything I've listened to. So
really? Wow.
Yes. It feels like they spent money on this to make this. So there you go. That's it for me.
I love shoehorning aliens, colonial marines into every show. Thank you.
Just was going to run with it. I love shoehorning, but never mind. Mark, how about we do some game time?
Sounds a good idea.
Today I feel like playing computer games.
All right, so it's game time. We're going to talk about games that we've been playing, some games that are coming up as well. But in the meantime, Phil, maybe we can talk about January Games with Gold, PlayStation Plus. I believe these have all been updated, but the dates have not been changed. I could be completely wrong.
I've updated them all today because they were all the old December ones because we've used different show notes for the last two shows, haven't we?
Yep. So December 2019, Phil, you're good to go.
No, the January.
That too. January. You know, January, December. It all
senior moment.
In.
So.
Yeah, you can tell Greg's 50 this year as well.
Shut it. Tin can.
So, should we start again?
Yes, Phil, go for it.
So, Games of Gold for January. On Xbox One, we have Celeste, which is available January 1st to the 31st. And WRC 6, available January 16th to February the 15th on Xbox One. On Xbox 360, it's Lara Croft Guardian of Light from January the 1st to the 15th on Xbox One and 360. And Far Cry 2, which is available from January the 16th to the 31st. Again, both on Xbox One and 360. And for PlayStation Plus in January, we have Steep, Portal Knights, both those on PS4, Zone of the Enders HD Collection on PS3, along with Amplitude. And then on the Vita, we have Fallen Legion, Flames of Rebellion, which is also on the PS4, and Super Mutant Alien Assault. Twitch Prime Games, January 2019. Hyperlight, Drifter, Bomber Crew, Orwell, and Republic. So, some good games there.
There are some good games there. I think Celeste is one I'm really curious to try because, I mean, it got a lot of good, positive conversation and a lot of Games of the Year conversation from a lot of the mainstream media outlets. I just hadn't played it, hadn't tried it. Robin, I think you dabbled with Celeste, if I'm not mistaken.
It's on his list today. Yeah.
Talking about it today.
Okay, perfect. So we'll leave that for there. Why don't we just move into what we've been playing? And Robin, why don't we just start with you? Let's talk about some Celeste.
No.
No? You grumpy old bastard. Come on.
Okay. So Celeste is brutal. It's like I've said this before. It's like the red little guy. Fuck. Brain work.
Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy and Ori and the Blind Forest had a baby, and this is what it is. So it is a... Help me with these. A Metroidvania style game. it's 8-bit graphics sort of thing. The music is fabulous. If we had this back when I was a boy, all those long times ago, when milk used to get delivered in bottles, we would have been amazed by it. Even though the graphics are basic, they're really advanced. So some of the effects are lovely. It is pixel perfect. Hopefully you have some of this on the screen, Mark.
Yep.
It's pixel perfect, and it is brutally hard. So the idea is you're this little girl, Madeline, and you have to try and get to the top of a mountain. That's it. There are lots of hidden levels. There's lots of extra secrets that you can do. So there's what they call the B-sides of the music tapes, which are extra hard levels. And when you play it on the normal setting, it is brutally hard. Now, I think there's about 7 chapters, and I've got them now at the beginning of 4. And it is pushing me to the limit. I mean, literally, I'm having like 1,000 deaths in one level. It's instant respawn and away you go. That sounds like it's a chore, but it ain't. It does have that satisfaction factor that when you complete something that looks absolutely and utterly impossible to do, how will I ever get around that? That you have that portal moment of, wow, I did that. You know, you feel good about completing a section, and it's very good about saving where you are and you die, and so you don't have to go back and go back and go back. Now, seemingly inside this story, there are overtones of touchy-feely liberal nonsense about being alone and lonely and all that sort of crap and crud. Get fucking deal with it. Fucking kids today. Jesus Christ, it's more good to have it. But there's overtones of that, but that's only sideshow Bob. The game itself is as solid as a rock. Now, what you can do is you can switch on a whole pile of modifiers in the game. So if the game is far too hard, there's like a double jump and a jet jump, and when you climb up a wall, you run out of breath in normal difficulty, so you can switch that off, so you can always climb and you can always do your double jump again and again and again, not just one before you have to recharge it. So you can wind back the difficulty completely to make it a lot more accessible. Now, here young kids can play it with all of that sort of stuff. Probably young kids can do it on normal mode, but you know, if you just wanted to play the game to get through, you can do that. But I'm trying my best to get through, but it is it's one of those ones you can play it for an hour or so, and then you have to walk away from it. I suppose that's a bit like Super Meat Boy. But yeah, Celeste, brilliant.
Super. Yeah. So the comparison to Super Meat Boy does push me off a little bit. Yeah, I did not get on with Super Meat Boy.
But Ori, add the softness bit of Ori. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm willing to give it a go. I am leery, but hey, it's gotten high praise even from you. Yep. So, yep. Hey, give it a shot. Why not?
Good.
What else, Mr. Tate? What else have you been playing?
Well, something.
Why don't we start together with the wheel one, and then we'll talk about.
Oh, okay,
the other.
So I've done another race in Formula One 2018. Fantastic, really good, really good Formula One game. Loved it. And, you know, you practice and qualifying, and you know, it takes about 2 hours to do one race, and it's good fun. So,
you can
yes,
tell Robin F1 had no desire to talk about this game. He wants to get straight to Ghost Recon Wildlands.
I do, you know, F1 2018, what can I say about it? It's a really, really good Formula One simulator, a good racing game. It's really good. It's really, really, really solid. Yeah, they have they add this thing that you get interviewed after each session and practice, and you have to answer these questions, and if you answer them in a unsportsmanlike way, your sportsmanship's go down. And if you answered in a nice way, you said, oh, the car handled really well, the aero department are happy with you, and then the little bar goes up. But that's, again...
But does your character, like, do a floss dance in the character screen?
I don't know. What is that?
Not anymore.
A floss?
Yeah.
God, now you're really sounding old. What is the floss? That's really what you just said. It's only like, the big...
That's, you know what the floss is.
My dentures? Did I do that with my dentures now?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Does this game have an age limit? So, you know, if the sun gets in your eyes and you pull out onto a road into another car.
Well, I had the conversation with Judith. We're talking about Prince Philip here, the Queen's husband, who at 97 years old, drove out probably in front of someone, and the someone, speeding or not, hit his Land Rover side on and flipped him over.
And right. Hard to do. Land Rovers are not meant to roll.
Yeah. So he got out of the car, and seemingly he's okay at 97 years old and was driving the very next day. Now, of course, the police are asking him why was he not wearing a seatbelt and stuff like that there. But anyway, the conversation that Judith and I had was, well, damn it, what a guy. Because they're saying he shouldn't be driving. He says, but if I get to 100, Judith, the way I'm going to go is on my 100th birthday, I'm going to go out in my Prius. No, hopefully it won't be a Prius. Something, I'm going to go to my car and I'm going to die driving at 100 miles an hour at 100 years of age. Hopefully I'll not kill anybody else, but what a way to go. Your grandfather was killed in a car accident at 100 years old at 100 miles an hour. Whoa.
So might I make the suggestion of going out like Thelma and Louise? You know, take the car just right off to the edge of the cliff and over. I mean, that's a tremendous way. I mean, a huge jump, your balls to the walls.
My balls will be at my fucking ankles.
They might be up in your face at that point. They're going to have some elasticity.
Yeah, there's not many big cliffs like that around here, Greg.
Do you know what 10-year challenge, what's going on Facebook? I saw one with a 10-year difference in ball sacks. One's down here, one's up there.
dear.
I've got a 30-day Facebook ban for that.
All right, let's talk about what we all plan to talk about so we can all chime in on this conversation. Robin, what is the game that you were most surprised by this week and you're playing?
Not surprised by. I knew it was always good, and I had it for about a year, and I heard Mike chatting about it and having such a good time with it. And I don't know why I never started it, but for some reason it came on your radar, I think, Greg, first. Mm-hmm. I think it was, and you offered, should we play it? So I didn't get on that night with you guys. I got on with Mark for a while, and that was the first I'd played it. In fact, I did go on last night to play with Phil, and I played with Phil for quite a while last night. But Mark and I had a great session with it, and it's so accessible. It's fun. We were all whizzing around in this Mexican place. It reminds me of Just Cause, Far Cry, all of those big open worldy things, and you don't have to follow the story. You can drive around and do bits and pieces.
That's actually a good comparison, by the way. I think Just Cause with Far Cry kind of mixed together,
yeah.
I think is kind of the right analogy.
With a gunplay of Ghost Recon. Yeah.
Yeah. And last night I went on and I said I was going to be a 10-ish last night, so I put on and said to get anybody around.
I came off half an hour before you got on. I was watching Luther again. I've just missed you.
By the way, did we officially name this game Ghost Recon Wildlands? I don't know if we actually officially said this is the game yet.
Oh, yeah. It's Ghost Recon. Yeah, I think I said that. Well, I somewhere said it. Maybe I said it. I can't remember what I said. So last night, I went on and joined Phil's game. I joined and went, God, Phil's on already playing this.
It's so accessible, joining in progress, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. So Phil, he's standing there at the start area. And I thought, okay, he's not here. He's maybe just away to get a drink or go to the loo or whatever. So I ran around and he didn't come back. And I shot him in the head. Then I started throwing grenades at his feet and blew him up two or three times and revived him. Then I drove a car and a motorcycle beside him and threw a hand grenade at those and blew those up and killed him again and revived him. And then I went away and I went away across the map and stole a big, massive helicopter and landed it right in front of him. And he didn't move. Right. I ended up taking photographs of it, and And it was so sad. I didn't know, you know, I'd done all this for him and got zip. But Mark and I also had a great time too, because we had helicopters. And
we took choppers, didn't we?
Took choppers. And
don't cross the chopper stream.
I immediately got into a chopper and flew up Mark's behind and killed us. It's one of those moments in games that I think it can create moments like that.
We had a good funny moment. We were in a chopper. It was me, Phil, and Greg in a chopper, and we think we know why now, but we didn't know at the time. The chopper just suddenly.
We 100% know why.
Yeah, we knew now.
I watched that video. Yeah, I watched the video
at the time. We didn't, because all of a sudden this helicopter just split in two and blew up. So me and Greg just immediately jumped out and parachuted, and Phil's there going, "How do you parachute? How do you parachute? I can't get out. How do you parachute?" And he just plummeted to his death.
How was I supposed to know that you can't set off a drone when you're on a helicopter?
Yeah, and also later on we found out, Phil, that you need to upgrade to get a parachute.
Yes.
The very video of me changing seats on the helicopter, Tom.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it was pretty funny. Phil, you posted that video, and I had actually jumped out just before the helicopter blew up. Mark jumped out as the helicopter was blowing up, and you sat in the helicopter changing seats as it's plummeting to your death. But I went back because I was really perplexed. I could not figure out how in the world did this helicopter blow up. And fortunately, you had recorded it. You did a game record of that 30-second window. So I went frame by frame on that video, checking out exactly when it blew up, and I noticed your character suddenly does this, puts his hand up in the air like he's throwing something up, and you see for a split second the screen goes to the drone feed for just one frame, and then clicks back, and then you see this explosion happen in the blades, and the helicopter goes to pieces. That was brilliant. It's a great game, co-op play.
It just made me laugh when we took a vehicle, and instead of just getting in the back like a normal person, Greg goes around to the boot or the trunk in the US and climbs in and is curled up like a little ball in the trunk of his car.
It was like I was being smuggled across the border.
The reason for my most scintillating gameplay with Robin was that I just changed the channel. So I was changed the input, watching TV, not realising...
Some of the tweets of photographs of me, like, "This is your helicopter I've got for you. It's yours. You can have it. It's a gift."
Robin begging him.
No, he's watching TV. Fuck off.
It's a great game, and I'm fully into it now. I can see me, you know, I'm going around not necessarily doing the story missions first, going around getting all the skill points and the different weapons and everything. Stopping, you know, doing the mini missions, the side missions first, and then doing the story. It's just great.
Yeah. So some real talk about this game. So graphically, it is it's a nice looking game. The visual upgrades, especially if you're playing on a Pro or an X, are going to be really great. The game looks incredible. It plays well. You know, you can say a little bit of glitchiness here and there from being an open world game, but for the most part, it's solid gameplay. It can be brutally difficult, especially if you're solo. You'll always have team members. That's the other thing to note. If you're solo and you try and play the game solo, you're going to have three other AI team members that are with you, which they can be a bit of a detriment. The jump-in, jump-out co-op play of this game is completely seamless. You set it up to be open to friends. Mark and I were playing... And our, you know, old friend, JF Gratton from Couch Mercenaries, suddenly jumped into our game out of the blue. And I'm like,
"Cool,
I think JF is in this game." And Mark's like, "He is." Sure enough.
Yeah. And then we went on to try the Predator mode, didn't we?
Jeez, yeah. But yeah.
Predator mission.
The Predator mission is brutal.
Yeah. That's all you hear as well while you're in the woods.
Yeah. It's a tough mission. Let me just say, we have yet to beat it. We tried for a good hour, I think. So I think we need a team of four to beat that mission. I could be wrong, but
Sarah says if you increase the number of tags you can do with your computer team, it makes it very easy.
Yeah, so she's referring to the sync shot. So I've unlocked all my three slots now. So you can get each of your three AI guys, you tag three different enemies, and then on your command, you can shoot a fourth, right. Or you can just tell them they will shoot them, and they will 100% kill them instantly. So it's a good stealth tactic.
I will say this.
The AI team, I think. They don't seem to hit anything else, but when you set up the sync shot, it's
urban. It's a perfect shot, yeah.
Specializing in upgrading my drone. So above everything else, I've been upgrading my drone so it becomes more easier to spot things and got the extra sync. So, yeah, it is. It does make it a bit easier if you have got all three syncs unlocked.
It's amazing. You fly those drones over the airport and nothing happens.
Yeah, don't try this at home, kids. The one knock on this game is the story dialogue.
The voice
this
acting.
Game it is bad writing, beyond bad writing. The voice acting actually is probably horrible, but the lines they're given to say is pretty bad. It's very symbolic, I suppose, right now of what's going on in the U.S. with our need to build a wall. This game symbolizes all those fears wrapped up into one. Because apparently everybody from South America is basically either passive bystanders that won't do anything against drug lords, or they are drug kingpins and you know, wanting to kill everybody. So, the story is very forgettable. So much so that I really don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, other than I know there's a bunch of people to hunt. I know there's a story to it, but I could care less. The co-op gameplay...
I loaded it up this morning and seen my story progress is 0%, so...
Good job.
Well, each area, you've got a set number of missions and you can take down a boss in each area. I think I've taken down three bosses now and I'm working on another couple of areas. So, yeah, I'm slowly getting through
it. I will throw this out. I think this game also could be really good PvP.
There is a mod for it.
Yeah, there is, and I want to say it would be a good community thing if we can get a group of people that have the game together to do a little bit of that, because I think when you're in jungle settings and you're running around, the game, you know, the natural environment allows for a lot of cover, and so I think the game sets up nicely to be kind of pretty intense if you're doing some actual competitive stuff. I haven't tried it out. Yes, tents. Lots of tents. But yeah, Coast Recon Wildlands. I think we all like it.
Yep. We're a bit late, but what the hell?
Another criticism, but it's actually advantageous to gameplay because it doesn't really affect how you get there. The vehicles seem quite unreal. Well, very unrealistic.
They're completely unrealistic.
You can get on a motorbike and you can jump off a cliff with it, go all the way down the cliff, back up the other side, and you never fall off once. You can hit a tree head on and you just bounce off and carry on.
I fell off today.
Did you? Wow, I've never fallen off one yet. So.
It's a fence. Bear in mind, I've jumped off cliffs and, you know, hit rocks and cars and everything. I hit a fence and it threw me off.
My favorite thing in this game is, the environment when you're driving your vehicles around, it's pretty much you can take a vehicle almost anywhere. Yeah. But I was in my car and I backed my Jeep up into a little like four-door Honda Civic type thing, and it completely destroyed the back end of the Jeep to where it started smoking. And I was like, it was like I tapped it. So it's not perfect. It's not perfect. And from a realism standpoint, the game leaves a lot to be desired, but don't let that get in the way of the fun you're going to have. And co-op clearly is the way to play this game. Yeah. I cannot highly recommend that enough. All right, Robin, anything else?
I need a pee.
It needs his breath.
Oh, you know that sneeze? You know that term, water under the bridge? Well, it's a whole new meaning now.
Yeah.
And for men.
Oh, Lordy. All right, Phil, please tell me about Zumba World Party. What's going on here?
Well, I felt that I needed, coming into the new year, start off last year doing very well, losing weight, and needed something at home that we could, you know, do some exercise with. And I had a look and remembered I had Zumba World Party on the Kinect.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Still got the Kinect connected. And it's very good. I mean, you know, I have the coordination, dance coordination of a penguin. I'm not very good, but it gets me out of breath, and there we go. And it's not bad to look at either. So you can have
depends
two.
On, it depends on what you're looking at, Phil.
It does. It does.
So if you're looking at the screen, I'm sure, pleasant.
Exactly.
Yeah. How does your Kinect camera feel, though?
It doesn't actually show you too bad. It does the outline. It's a very unflattering outline, but it does the outline. you can have two players. So,
okay.
I've been dancing away, just 20 minutes, half an hour a night.
Have you talked to your lovely Lisa into doing this with you?
Yes, yeah. Well, we feel that, you know, the only way we're going to exercise is if we, coax each other to do exercise. So,
right.
But yeah, no, it's good. You know, it's difficult. I'm not, you know, on some of the dance games I could, Dance Revolution and some of the others, I used to be pretty good at just hand-eye coordination and getting the beats in. But this seems to track your whole body and gets pretty intense.
Can you do the slush? Is that the slush? Is that something you can do, or is there line dancing or anything like that?
This as well, and it's good fun.
A waltz, maybe.
There's quite a lot of songs, and I know.
We need you to record yourself, Phil.
Yes,
we need mm-hmm. this to be videotaped. Oh,
be careful.
Oh yeah,
be careful.
all right, Mark. Let's shift gears over to yourself. We talked about Ghost Recon Wildlands, yeah. But let's talk about Game of the Year 2018.
What, God of War?
No.
the other Game of the Year. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption 2. I finished it now. I finished the main story and I finished both epilogues. And
okay.
It is absolutely amazing. It is superb. It is now my joint game of the generation with God of War.
Oh, it's, wow. Yeah, okay. All right.
I can't choose between them now. Because even after you finish, you can go back in and do loads of more shit. And it's so good. The epilogues are a beautiful touch. There's still some gruesome storylines in there. There's some nice storylines in there. There's some nice touches to certain characters. It's just an amazing story-driven game. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and so without spoiling, don't worry, we're not going to spoil anything.
No. But no, we're not called Steve from Veteran Gamers.
I was pleased that there are some meaningful differences in choices that happen at the end of the game. You will be given some choices to make, and based on choices and based on what you've done in the game, yeah. also impacts yeah. all of this.
Depends on you.
I thought that was great because we talked at length about the differences that we were seeing.
Yeah.
We have a whole spoiler chat in WhatsApp where we talked about differences, and a good number of us experienced things slightly different. Some of us experienced things wildly different. It's a great game. Yeah, I just finished up the epilogues myself, so I'm right there with you, Mark. And also for those wondering, when you do finish up the epilogues, it will allow you through means that make sense to be able to go and finish up side quests, do more hunting, do additional stuff in the game that you may not have finished prior to. I guess that leaves me. Unless there's anything else, Mark, that you want to talk about that wasn't on your list.
I did do a little bit of Shadow of the Tomb Raider, but not much. But I've got to the point in that now where I'm in the middle, well, near the middle of a game, but when I've rejoined it, I can't remember what I was doing.
Right.
And it doesn't really... It's hard to follow on if you forget where you are. I'm doing a Robin there.
Possibly. By the way, Phil, I am going to ask you, I'm assuming you're up on Twitch right now.
I am, yes.
Okay. You're going to be responsible, by the way, for Twitch shout outs at some point. So just note that. So let's finish out my game. So we talked about Ghost Recon Wild. We talked about Red Dead Redemption 2. We've talked in the past about Mutineer Zero. I started playing that again. Great, fantastic game. I'm happy I have it on my top five for the past year. Phil, it absolutely was deserving, I think, of your mentions as well. In fact, you were Game of the Year, if I remember correctly. You know, one of the things I want to talk about, I think this game gets better as you get further into it and you unlock more abilities. Abilities truly become, you know, I hate to use the word game changers, but they do. The game is really, it's tough and it's unforgiving in normal mode. But once you start getting to some abilities later in the game, and you have to get there to unlock them, but they really do change how you can approach fights.
Yeah.
One of the mutant powers I unlocked is the ability, basically, and it's for the pig and another character. I won't spoil what that character is, but you can actually eat the dead bodies on the battlefield to regain health.
Yeah, I never got to try that.
Yeah, so the only way you can do it is if you're in combat. So, in other words, let's say there's three enemies left, and it breaks out into a full fight. You kill one of those enemies, you can send your character over to eat the corpse that's on the ground. Now, you might expose them because they might be running out. It's totally gross because the piggy comes running up to the corpse and he's just all just chomping away. Save that sound effect. But it restores all of your health. So it's actually better than a med kit in that it fully brings your health all the way back up. So even if you were to get shot again, it's still the benefit, you know, kind of outweighs the risk. That was a real game changing kind of tactic to be able to use. Really enjoying it. I'm probably now three quarters of the way through it, getting into kind of that final, section where I need to wrap up the game, but, it's good. Really good.
The mind control power is really good as well, because that draws a lot of attention from you. So as soon as you mind control someone, they become the target. Which is superb. And I am hoping and praying that because it's been so successful, that they actually do some DLC for it.
I hope they do some DLC. If nothing else, a sequel. This game deserves a sequel for sure. I would love to see some DLC. I would love to see them maybe in the future do something where it's not such a fixed map, and that, you know, maybe they can do something to where they can, you know, basically playthroughs are not going to be the same. Star Control Origins, played some PC game. PC. So Star Control Origins, basically, if you played Star Control before, it is that game. This was a game I played, I think, back on my PS2, if I'm not mistaken, where you had a fleet that you would build, and then you would kind of go into these one-on-one battles, your ship against an enemy ship, and they have kind of pluses and minuses to them in terms of they've got weapons that are going to be good against certain types of ships, and then they have defenses that are going to be better against other types of ships.
It's like a very Space Wars.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, like Galaxy Wars.
Space controls Wars. Controls in terms of the controls is going to be kind of like asteroids. You know, you're going to basically mm-hmm. kind of left roll thrusters to get yourself moving forward and turning, and then very directional line of sight type shooting. But it's fun. They added some new bits to it where you're actually traversing through the galaxy and visiting planets and being able to pick up resources and then turn around those resources to do upgrades with your ships. So,
Did you find it life forms?
Other life forms? Yes.
Is this on
It is on Steam again. They had to pull it off Steam for a while because I think the original company behind Star Control was trying to sue them and basically do a cease and desist because they felt like they were impeding on their IP. So, yeah, but I got it on sale. at the end of Christmas. I think it was like $19, $19.99, something like that. So I figured, why not? I'll take a chance on it. And then I played Resident Evil 2.
Ooh.
The demo. Yeah. So
you lasted 2 minutes.
No. I lasted, for the full 30 minutes, but they...
Yeah, the demo, that's what Cindy says.
Yeah. Well, my 30 and her, too. They're similar.
This is a one-shot demo, isn't it? You only get one go at this.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a one-shot demo. It's 30 minutes. At the end of the demo time frame, you can complete it. I did not, so you can get all the way to the end of the demo and it'll just shut down, or you hit your 30-minute timer and it shuts down. And once it's done, it won't let you play through it again. Basically, you just delete it off your system. Game looks gorgeous. I love the remake. I like what they've done here. It feels very modern, even though they still have some kind of homages to the original. You still have things like the herb plants that you have to eat for health, and they'll have lock boxes where you can store stuff. But your character moves much more fluidly. It's over the shoulder, third person kind of view. You can move and shoot. So long, or, you know, gone are the days of if you have a gun in your hand, you're not able to actually walk and shoot at the same time. The zombies, they are just gory. Look, visually, this game is fantastic. I really like what they did here. I don't know that I'll pick it up because I'm not a big horror game fan, but I wanted to try this. I wanted to see how the remake looked, and it's good. It's really good. So I think it does the series justice, and this could potentially become kind of one of those where it becomes the favorite. I know currently Resident Evil 4, I think, has been held as like the game of the series that most people tend to like the most. I think this game might supersede that. It might just take over. So that's me. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got some new toys behind you, Greg.
I do. So I picked up Iron Man. So that's an Iron Man helmet right there. Actually, I can put the Iron Man helmet on. It is functional. And then up above here,
role play. This whole thing is just getting out of hand, Greg.
I know. But that's my Titanfall 2 helmet. I hung it up on the wall. And so, yeah. Just some new additions to the room, making room for more stuff. Cool. I like the collectible stuff.
Yeah. They're ornaments. Yeah, I don't take them out of the boxes. They're in the boxes.
Some are in the boxes. Some are not. Over here, I've got a bunch of stuff in boxes, but behind me, that stuff, that gets out of the box and up on the wall.
Cool.
All right. Let's talk about 2019. So, Robin, you came up with this idea. I thought it was a very good idea. Let's talk about games coming up, what we're kind of looking forward to. But I thought I'd do a bit of a twist on this because we don't know a lot of what's happening in the second half of the year. Let's kind of look at the first half of the year. And we'll highlight some.
I might make it to the second half.
You might. But we'll talk about the first half of the year. We'll go through each month. We'll highlight out some of the big titles. We have the list. This is per Game Informer. This is their current release calendar. So if you're curious, just go to Game Informer, look up 2019 video game release schedule, and you'll be able to kind of see what we use for our game release calendar. And so we're already into January. But I think the highlights for January really would be Ace Combat 7.
Yeah, funny enough, the thing that we didn't come up with, which has just been released to Xbox Game Pass, is We Happy Few, which is now out and available to play. So I don't know how that's been received or not. I haven't seen any feedback on it, but there was a lot of fizz about it when it was first demoed or shown.
When it was first shown off, I think it gave a lot of that... oh, God. Big Daddy's...
BioShock, old man.
BioShock, yeah. Very, very BioShock-ish vibe. It was an open-world game at the time, and a lot of people, when they actually played it, said, this feels, one, it's not meeting the promise of what they were trying to do, and also the open world didn't necessarily work. They've gone back. I know they've really fleshed out more of a story mode now. Hopefully it's playing better, but... I think that the buzz on it definitely, you know, kind of waned a little bit.
Your Ace Combat 7 we've seen at the DGX. I don't think any of us were terribly impressed, but what I hear
it
is
looks
it's,
good.
It's absolutely fabulous in VR.
Yeah. Yes, I've heard great things about the VR mode. In fact, I was listening to, I think, Giant Beastcast, they were talking about how great it was. So
again, the other things, Resident Evil 2, you've already said, kind of good, and Kingdom Hearts 3 has a certain following.
And an actual release date. That's, the bigger news. That thing has been in production for quite a while. I don't know. I'm not crazy or excited for any of these titles. I used to be a huge Ace Combat fan, just because I liked the whole flight sim thing.
Yeah.
But I've really kind of gotten away from it. And one thing that stands true today as it did back then, the story in that game is absolute pants. So,
yeah, but I feel the need.
Well, if you feel the need for speed, then do it, man. Jump on. Get your ass shot down in 2 seconds flat. The people playing this game, there are some serious flight sim fanatics.
Yeah.
It is online is no joke. At least that's the way it was back then. I'm assuming it's the same as today.
But,
You know, it's worth taking a flight of fancy if you like.
Okay, cool.
Mark, why don't you walk through February for us?
What do you think, Mark? What's good in there?
Out of that lot, Crackdown 3 is a big one for me. Yeah, finally we're going to get Terry Crews and his boom. Metro Exodus is a big one for me. Far Cry New Dawn. I was disappointed with Far Cry 5, how it ended. I'm not overly excited for that, but it is going to be a big game. The big one for me in February is Anthem.
I can't believe that's coming out so soon.
Yeah, I didn't realise. I thought Division was coming out before this, but it didn't. Yeah, Anthem. I've been looking at a bit more gameplay trailers and from the alpha stuff, and it looks very interesting with your javelins.
Demons.
Can we talk real quickly about the comedy that is the month of February?
Yeah.
So back at E3... We had all kinds of companies saying they were releasing their game on February 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was like, I want to say pretty much Crackdown, Metro, Anthem. There was another game that actually has moved out of February. I can't remember what its name was. I believe the Resident Evil, the Sony game.
Dreams?
The zombie one. No, the Sony zombie game.
Days Gone.
Yeah. I think that originally was going to be February, but they pushed out of that. So everybody decided to move out of February 22nd, except for Anthem. They stayed there. And everybody moved up to February 15th, with the exception of Days Gone, who moved out, I think, to April. It's the April or March for that game. So it was just kind of games came in saying, oh, we'll release February 22nd. Nobody's going to be there. And then everybody was there. And then they decided, okay, well, we'll just move up a week. And everybody moved up a week. And so we're stuck with this crazy big February month.
But I mean, there is such good stuff there. I mean, even some of the small stuff is good stuff. Trials, we had maybe the time has passed. But PC fans with Civilization 6 Gathering Storm there as well on Valentine's Day.
Dirt Rally 2.0.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. Is it a God Eater game?
God Eater 3.
Yeah, PS4 and PC. I know they're quite popular. Dirt Rally 2, Lego Movie 2.
I think out of the big titles, Far Cry New Dawn is the least...
Yeah.
The game that is least enticing to me.
That is definitely going to be a very cheap, on-sale type of pickup for me.
I think it's going to suffer. It's going to suffer based on the competition. I'm really struggling, quite honestly, with Metro Exodus. The more I see that game...
I don't know. None of them ever look terribly good. It maybe has fallen foul of the demo reels that we've seen looked absolutely stunning. But none of them looked the very best. But the story was always really good, and it was always memorable that way. The worrying one for me, and I'm being skeptical about it, so that's I'd like it to do well, but I'm not terribly confident, is Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
It'll either live or die very, very quickly.
I think it's going to have success just from the sheer fact that it's on Game Pass.
Mm.
It will
Again, like Trials, you know, Crackdown 3, great game, great in its day, fantastic multiplayer, but so many games, like we were talking about Wildlands there, so many games have that drop-in play now. Right. That, you know, that's not original any longer, so it'll be interesting to see if that's a good thing or not. Anyway, I'll look forward to it. Huh? Yeah. Hmm? Huh? Yeah.
Phil, let's talk about March. What's jumping out off on the page at you for the month of March?
There is a little game coming in March. Tropico 6.
Oh, wrong game. I was getting so pumped to agree with you on that.
Looking forward to Tropico 6, but the big game for me in March is going to be The Division 2.
Yeah.
Playing Division 2.
It's a big one.
You know... Multiplayer again, and that sort of cooperative has got me back in the mood for The Division, and I cannot wait for The Division 2. It's going to be great.
You know, as I look at this list, this actually is kind of a big month again.
It's a
really big month. You've got
Danganronpa,
Devil May Cry. I mean,
Devil May Cry 5.
You know, you've got Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Right.
E3 game.
Yep.
Yoshi's Crafted World will be very big.
Yeah.
Well, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, isn't that the game that was from, is it the Dark Souls guys? Or am I thinking of something different?
I think you may be thinking of something different. I think, isn't that a PS4 only game, the one you're thinking of? I'm not sure, actually.
No. But anyway.
You know, isn't
No.
There's one game on there. Which I saw a trailer for today, which I haven't seen anything for it before, which is The Sinking City.
Yes.
And that looks amazing.
Is that because the sewage is bad or what?
It's a H.P. Lovecraft type.
Oh, sorry, thing. Sinking. Yeah. Sinking. I thought you said stinking.
Sinking, It has an evil, Evil Within vibe to me. Kind of that horror, but also like the like absurdly crazy kind of horror aspects to it where, some of the monsters are going to be, I think, hyper like gory, but also it has a lot of tension to it. I don't know. I'm very curious about that game. It definitely will not be a game for me. I don't do horror, but the trailer itself really showed some promise.
Just to say, Nerd Allegiance in the chat has confirmed it is the Dark Souls guys for Sekiro. It's from
fact. From Greg soft. Knows what he's talking about. The rest of you idiots, not so much.
The Princess Guide is like a Hayes manual on princesses. So that should be interesting as well. So how to take the, you know, change the oil on a princess and stuff like that there. So that should be interesting.
Hey, Robin, since I had Mark and Phil cover the previous 2 months, I'm going to let you go ahead and cover April through June.
Okay, thanks. Mortal Kombat 1-1. That would be 11, or it would be 6 in Greg's language. That's out in the... Yeah, Mortal Kombat, if you're a Mortal Kombat fan. Days Gone. Why has everybody went off Days Gone? It seemed when we first seen it, we went, oh, wow, look at all the sprites on the screen. So many zombies coming running at us. And since then, there was a motorbike demo sort of driving around. And since then, it's all been a bit flat.
Well, because it's taken so long to get here. And there's been that many zombie games since then. I think everyone's just gone, fair enough for that now.
Well, I also think, though, a big part of it was that demo they showed off. And there was actually a lot of preview sites, you know, kind of mainstream media sites got hands-on with it. It didn't demo great, and it didn't show off great in the demo. It looked, they were talking about it being an open-world game, but it felt much linear than anticipated. It also felt very kind of real... by the numbers gameplay. And I think the biggest thing, if I remember correctly, one of the big things about it was they had these transitions from action to cutscenes where they just would go to this big black screen and it was a long pause and then they would go into the cutscene and it just felt jarring. It took you right out of it.
Maybe that sorted. So it could be days gone. So right. Running in the May, another one which I really loved, the first one, even though it was a bit flat, was Rage. And Rage 2 is coming out on all platforms on May the 14th.
I quite enjoyed Rage.
Rage was a great game up to 75% of the game. And then he started to go...
It was a great game all the way up until the end, the very end of that game was just dumb.
Yeah, you started to go back on itself. There was no need for the racing part of it. There was no need for a whole pile of bits and pieces. Yeah. And then you had to go through the hospital thing, all the blood and gore, and then walk all the way back. And they started to repeat levels and stuff like that there. So it felt unfinished. But happy to say, all the multiplayer stuff is gone from Rage 2. It's a single player only, and they're concentrating on that. So I'm looking forward to Rage 2. I like Rage. I like those guys. Those guys are cool. And then you have Team Sonic Racing. Okay, Sonic, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, whoop-a-doo. Always second place to Mario Kart. And in June, you've got Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled. So, lots of kart racers coming out. They will sell a bit, I suppose. That's about it. That's all that's coming out in June. And then you're into the summertime.
In the summertime, I think the only thing we really know that is quote-unquote confirmed, and so I guess we can talk about that because everything else is unconfirmed, so in terms of dates, but the last confirmed game we know of right now, according to this list, is Shenmue 3, August 27th. That's a game I could care less about. Anybody who says it's a great game is a liar, and they are wrong. It's just a working simulator, and it's crap. That's how I feel.
See, I never understood, and we've maybe had this conversation before, but I always find that's a very strange little term. I could care less. So
I couldn't care less.
So, you know, could you not specify how much less you care?
I suppose I could care less because I could have just not mentioned it. Because it doesn't deserve to be mentioned.
How much less it is the important factor that I'm really interested here, just to be specific about it. So I could care 30% less. Yeah.
Well, let's just put it this way. I almost skipped over it. That's how much I didn't care about it.
That's a good 30% less. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So that's the first half kind of covered. We'd love to hear from you if you want to let us know what games you are looking forward to. Feel free to post in the chat if you're in the chat. We might have already had a couple posted in there. You know, obviously, if you're listening to this later, shoot us a tweet or shoot us an email. Let us know. All right, Mark.
Yes.
A little birdie has told me we have a new quiz.
Oh, my God.
We do.
And here's the theme tune for it.
Hello, my fellow podcast family. I've got all my sisters
with me. Fuck off. Fuck off.
Close, Robin. Close, but not quite. I'll never send you to speak piping ever again.
No, I did say to you, Mark, that you would never hear the file again. You'll never hear the file again.
No, you just edited it into another bit of music.
Not in its original format.
Where's it gone?
Potato.
Right. So, we've got a new quiz. This has been slightly stolen from other podcasts. It's quite a common idea.
Slightly stolen.
Yeah.
Completely ripped off.
But it's out. It's the first time it's been premiered on the Overseas Connection. So, it's called 20 Questions. Right, so what happens is...
Okay.
One host, who's picked at random each week on my special random wheel spinny thing, they choose a game, what they've played on from this current generation, and they've played a lot of it so they can answer the questions correctly. And the other three hosts, in turn, will ask up to 20 questions to determine what that game is. And you can only answer yes or no.
Okay.
You can take a guess early if you want, when it's your turn, but if you're wrong, you're frozen out. At the end of the 20 questions, then you have one chance of guessing what the game is. If you guess it right, you get a point. If no one guesses it right, the person whose game it is, they get the point.
So in a weird way, we're working together,
yeah.
But at the very end, we're kind of hoping we're not on the same page.
So to clarify, it's something we can play on an Xbox One or a PS4 today.
Yeah. Or PC.
Or PC.
Yeah. And it's something we have played a lot of. Now,
what qualifies played a lot of? I would like to just get this out there.
So you can answer the questions accurately. So if someone says...
No. But what would you say as the rule maker? What do you consider plays a lot of? More than 10 hours?
Oh, no, I'd say at least 5 hours.
Okay, at least 5 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you get this wrong, you'll be eating the berries more.
Now, we can... I know it's going to put you guys on the spot, but I can do a wheel spin now, and one of you can just... Whoever's selected can just pick a game. Or I do have one selected. But then it won't be fair.
Do it, Mark.
Spin the wheel. Where's the props?
Right.
I want to hear.
The wheel is on the stream. Now you guys are on a delay, so let me just turn the sound up for the PC. Right.
Cheating.
So on the wheel, you can see there is Phil, Mark, Robin, and Greg. So it's all fair. And I will spin the wheel now. And it's landed on Greg.
Woo!
And if you look at the stream, now it's there, right there, and it says Greg.
All right. Okay.
So Greg. All right. Now what happens is we will then go in clockwise from the person who chooses a game for fairness each week. So Greg will pick a game. When he's got a game in mind, I've got the first question.
I have the game in mind. I'm good to go.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So my question is. First question.
Wrong! Sorry.
Is this a shooter?
No.
Ooh. Robin, second question.
Is it a vegetable?
No.
Wrong game, Robin.
Oh. Two questions. I'm going to keep track of how many questions you cheaters ask.
It's on stream, Greg. Don't worry. I've got it on stream.
Oh, no. Cheating. Remember.
All right.
Okay. Is it science fiction based?
No. Ooh. Three questions.
Ooh. Is it an RPG?
Yes.
Ooh. Robin?
Is it bigger than a bread box? Come on.
Are there horses in it?
There are, yes.
Do I take the risk?
Come on.
Is it a sequel?
I go.
Or a peak?
You've jumped.
Yeah, fuck.
Was that Phil's question?
No, ignore me. I got wrong. I was wrong.
Okay.
What is the question?
Is it a bread box?
Is it a sequel?
Yes.
I'm going to take a chance. Is it Redemption 2?
No. Phil, you're out.
Oh! Right, I've got a special thing for that.
Now, question.
I thought it was that as well.
When someone is out, do they get to ask questions anymore?
Nope.
All right. So, Robin, your question.
Oh, shit. I can't remember the name. Is it The Witcher?
No. Robin is out.
Who are you throwing yourself out for?
Mark. We're at seven questions. Mark. You're the only one left.
Yep. Right. So, does that count as a question, I guess? It doesn't, does it? So, we're on seven, aren't we?
Yes. Yes, you're on seven. So, you're actually asking eight now.
Yeah. So, this is question eight.
Horses?
Do you play as a male character?
Okay.
It's fluid.
Or does he like to be known as a male? Not gender neutral.
I know what this is.
Yeah, so I will say you can. So, yes, you can play as a male character.
I keep forgetting you've got to press transition and change your number. Right.
But I'm not trying to beat too much of this. But you can play as a male character is the answer to your question.
So my next question is, do you control a squad of people?
Yes.
Mm. All right.
On question 10.
Is this set in the Wastelands?
No.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't guess that again then. Oh, I wish you two aren't a bloody...
Sorry about that. Is there a character called Quiet in the game?
I can't say anything. You're not allowed to ask questions, right, Robin.
No. Control the squad. It's not a shooter. Yes. It's not sci-fi. It's an RPG. Hang on. Right. Okay. Are there dragons in this game?
Yes.
Ooh. Dragons.
Do you have
knives in your wrists?
No. What can I ask? Just to confirm it is this game. Do you close gateways to another dimension?
Come on, I keep it moving.
It's either yes or no.
I do not believe so, no.
Ooh.
Orcs.
Oh, and I was thinking in Quickie Quickie.
Is your name Traylon?
No. Backing up, Mark, yes, you do.
All right. I'm going to take a guess, and I'm going to say Dragon Age in Quickie Wiggy Wiggy.
In Quickie Wiggy, yes. Yeah. You got it in 13.
Yeah.
Well
done. So how many points do you get? Do you get 7 points for guessing it early? Do you? Is that what it is?
Hey, that's a good idea, but no, I got 1 point.
You get one.
Wow, okay. That's interesting. We feel completely. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah,
early guessing does not pay off in a game like this. I will just say that. No. Unless... Well, so here's a question. Yeah, so the only thing that early guessing would do is you lock out, of course, the other players from getting a chance. So, you know, the benefit of an early guess is it would stop the game for Mark and Phil. If Phil had gotten it right, Robin and Mark would have been locked out. They couldn't have gotten a point. But if you go to the end, all three of you could have guessed Dragon Age Inquisition and all three of you could have gotten it right. Make sense?
Yeah, because at the end of it, and 20 questions, you all have a choice. Yes. You choose a game.
Right.
So,
well done. That was good. I liked it.
Thank God.
If you guess early, you prevent the other two from having a point as well. So.
Yeah.
Very good. That's interesting.
You were talking about closing portals. I forgot you closed the rifts.
Yeah, that's what
in
I meant,
Inquisition.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Skyrim.
Right, yeah.
So, Mark gets a point.
Yeah.
Ooh. Hey,
hold on, Mark.
We're second. Yeah!
should we spin the wheel now to see what... Or do you already have the game you know that you're going to do?
We don't know who's on next week, do we?
True, but we know you won, so technically you should be doing the next
game. Well, no, what we said we'd do is... Because if someone wins every week, it isn't fair on everyone.
Gotcha.
So I thought if we just do a wheel spin every week...
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Done. Hey, Mark, play a news jingle.
There we go.
Here is the fucking news.
All right, so early in the year, should be quiet. Not much going on. There were some big things happening. So the biggest piece of news actually happened last week right before on Friday, before our kind of predictions podcast. So we didn't really cover it in the podcast last week, but that is Bungie splitting from Activision. They officially announced that they are ending their 10-year engagement a little bit early. So after, I think it's 8 years that they are parting ways.
Is it really 8 years?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to think that partnership. So remember, the game released after the partnership was announced. So that makes it feel a little weird. But anyway, Bungie is keeping Destiny IP. They are going out on their own now. They did say that they will continue to maintain the roadmap that they have for Destiny 2, so that that's not going to feel any significant bumps or changes. And Activision is basically being able to walk away from having to support the game. I don't know, and it is unclear if there's still going to be some kind of revenue sharing split for the game moving forward for the life of Destiny 2. Or Destiny, for that fact, the original Destiny, since they both will have residual sales on that. But for sure, the partnership now has ended, and anything moving forward coming from Bungie is either going to be independently published by them, or they'll have to seek another partner.
Do you think they're going to buy themselves, or Microsoft going to buy them?
Yeah. Well, they split from Microsoft, didn't they? Because they didn't want to be held with a big company, and then we go with Bloody Activision.
Yeah.
I just hope all the microtransactions stop now, and you get to play the game properly.
For me, Bungie rhymes with spongy, so that's the main thing for me.
Yeah, spongy Bungie. Anybody questioning whether they would go back to Microsoft and since Microsoft is buying studios, that's not going to happen. I think Activision kind of sees Bungie sees their ability now to be their own publisher if they want. They may still seek another third-party publisher out for some kind of marketing support, but I think on a whole they're going to, and they're big enough and they can kind of be out on their own. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, now all of the microtransactions will stop and all of those evil practices are going to go away. We don't know who was truly behind all of that, just for the record. I know we like to look at Activision as being the big corporate greedy giant, which certainly they have been greedy, and they are a big company. But the game that Bungie has developed, supposedly was the game they always wanted to make, and this was their design. It seems like it has been designed very purposely to have kind of that MMO microtransaction-supported kind of system. So I don't know we can rest all of that at Activision's feet. I think Bungie certainly was culpable as well to where the game is today.
It's a big thing for them, but splitting away from a big company like that. It'd be interesting to see where they land, where they stay completely independent or not. So interesting. Yep.
Mortal Kombat 11. For those Mortal Kombat fans out there, was officially debuted their trailer. They will be in beta late in March, and then the retail launch is coming in April. We already kind of talked about that. It's keeping the single player story mode as well, so of course you're going to have your online fighting and your traditional Mortal Kombat fighting systems in play, but you're also going to have that single player, which I think they, out of all the companies, have kind of done the best at making kind of a story mode for their fighting games. So, something to look forward to. And let's see, EA. Oh, EA. They canceled another Star Wars game. They canceled their open world Star Wars game. So EA Vancouver canceled the project. This is reported by Kotaku. This was the project they had inherited in 2017 after the shutdown of their subsidiary and the original developer, Visceral Games. So
what the hell are they doing? They've got one of the biggest franchises in the world. And what have they done with it?
Just two Battlefield Battlefront games, aren't they, Matt?
Yeah, and they fucked up the second one.
They do have Knights of the Old Republic on PC, and that is free. I mean, still pumping money. It's still doing good. They did say EA still has a few other projects on a smaller scale than the open world game that they were talking about. So there is a project due in late 2020. They said that it's a smaller scale Star Wars project. And then, of course, we also know that Respawn, Titanfall developer, is also working on Jedi Fallen Order, which should be coming out in the fall this year. So there is hope. There is
all these developers now. I mean, they're all so young. You know, what do they know about the original Star Wars? I'm old enough to be their father.
We're gonna. This is gonna be a pity party all podcast, isn't it?
Yes. I'm done.
And then the last one, and I thought this was just a little on the ridiculous side, but kind of funny. Apparently, the real Pinkertons are not exactly happy about their Red Dead Redemption 2 portrayal. And this is a story from The Blast. Basically, the Pinkertons loom large as a virtual adversary in Red Dead Redemption 2. But Pinkerton Consulting and Investigations has sent Rockstar Games a cease and desist notice claiming that Red Dead Redemption 2 used the company's trademarks, including the Pinkertons National Detective Agency badge, without permission. It also alleges the game will tarnish the reputation of the trademarks by portraying the 19th century detectives as foes, according to the court documents obtained by The Blast. So, who would have known?
So if something's like in history, you cannot use it. Then it's everyone's got a claim to something.
Well, that I think is what is probably going to be debated in the courts, whether this is a historical reference.
Because next you'd be getting bloody material. You'd be getting Germany sort of claiming against Call of Duty for using Nazis and
the. Chicago police have sent cease and desist order to the Blues Brothers. So, for God's sake, wise up, people. This is the same liberal nonsense that's going on all over the world. Be offended, deal with it, and move on.
Tate for president.
Tate for president. Yep, there we go. All right, let's transition away from the news. We can talk about new releases, but there really isn't a whole heck of a lot happening. This week in particular, really just two titles. Life is Strange 2, Episode 2. And then it's colon rules. So that is out on January 24th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And then, of course, the Resident Evil 2 game actually is releasing on January 25th. This is the remake for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So, that said, do we have any specific play dates coming up?
Wednesday, 9 o'clock.
Wednesday, 9 o'clock. I have a feeling it's going to be Ghost Recon Wilds, Wildlands. But track down Robin, track down Mark, track down Phil. If you see them online, go play with them. If you happen to be in Lincoln and want to come bowl, you can come hang out with me. All right. Ongoing. Robin.
Hey, victory achieved. It started again. We haven't done this since before Christmas because we've done all the special shows. So victory achieved. If you don't know, God bless you. Victory achieved. Play your games. Finish them to the end. You've bought them. Finish them. I know there's so many to play, but do your best to get through them because some of the stories in these games are really good and fun. But when you do that, you take a photograph. I heard the kids say it's called a selfie. You take a selfie with the credits of the game going behind you and you tweet it off to @OC_podcast on Twitter with the hashtag victory achieved. And that goes off, and we'll retweet that, and it'll go all to all our followers. But the best thing about it is you get entered into a draw for money. And you can win $20 or £15 for a gift card for anything that you want. You know, if you need Advil or the little blue pill or anything whatsoever at all, you know, that's what you get. And lots of people, because we haven't done this since before Christmas, so the people that finish the games in this time period that are entered into that draw, which will be drawn at the end of February, are John Mouse with Far Cry 5, GamerGirl27 with Overcooked 2, Gunslinger, he finished The Gardens Between, love that game. Flecky90 finished Dead Space after 10 years because he was too frightened to play it the first time and he quit. Demaktiku finished Octopath Traveler, God bless you. Filthy finished Mutant Hero Zero. Mark Annex gets stuck into a game balls deep and finished Strange Brigade. Gunslinger also finished Tacoma. And the first of them, O.C. Murphy's Law finished Red Dead Redemption 2, the first of many. Colonel Cars finished Celeste. Oh my God, you're a hero. Denik TQ also finished Shadow of the Tomb Raider. And Mr. Miyagi, he pulled out a GameCube emulator and finished Rocky the Video Game. Mark Annex, RC, GC, Sarah, Caliburn M, and Teflon all finished Red Dead Redemption 2. And John Moyse finished Assassin's Creed Syndicate, good game, and Hitman. Hotman is an 80s version of it on an 8-bit console. So very congratulations to all of you, and for that, you get this.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved.
And there's one.
Disclaimer. The Overseas Connection podcast will not actually pay you out in any funds you want. They will actually pay you out in PSN, Xbox Live, and Steam codes.
Or Viagra.
And not Nintendo bucks. And
amendment number two, I thought it went from January to March.
No, because the last one finished at the end of sometime.
I thought it finished end of December. All right, I might be wrong.
At the end of March! 50. At the end of March will be the next 50. Draw!
50, Mark. 50. Just remember, it's all going.
There's four quarters in a year.
Shh, Mark, let him be. We'll get him his warm milk. We'll get him his warm milk and his blanket. He'll be fine.
We are family.
I'll just text Judith all to wheel his chair in now.
Hey, Phil.
Hey.
Yeah, Sorry. Thank you, Sarah. We called it on the third week of December. That's why I was confused, because we had some tail enders at the end of December.
No, because you didn't have a show on February, the fourth week of December.
Third week of December.
Yeah, because there wasn't
third.
A show on the fourth.
Children.
Third.
Calm down.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
Phil.
No, I don't think
Phil. Let's shout out our lovely Twitch and chat people. Because they are always correct, apparently. We are never.
They are. So this evening we have had Kim, Gamer Girl, has been dropped in between snow showers. We've got Baron von Glauer, Cogwhistle, Commander Roots, Host Giveaway, Mattman Gaming, NetDev, Nerd Allegiance, Positivity Bots, RCGC, Skinny Seahorse, Slow Cool, and Zane Kyber. Thank you very much for watching.
Thank you all.
All right, let's get to shout-outs. Robin, why don't you start off with your shout-outs?
I want to shout out Nicole. Nicole, happy birthday for this week. And, nice to hear your voice today. And, I remember season two of Robin and Judith on Wednesday on Facebook and on bongosbits.com. You'll get me at Bongo the Sane. And, I will be back sometime. And, go Patriots.
Are you supposed to pick someone now, Robin? You really are losing your memory this week, aren't you? You can find me at MacAnnex on Twitter. I'm MacAnnex on PlayStation, Xbox, and on Steam. I want to shout out Robin and Nicole for reaching half a century this week. Big birthday milestone for both of them. Not that you're supposed to disclose a lady's age, so sorry, Robin. Over to Phil.
Thank you. I want to thank, obviously, you guys. I am at Filthy, it's PH1LTHEEE, on Xbox and Steam, because I've got a PC now, so I can play games. And shout out to Kim in the snow, shout out to Robin and Nicole and Eric for the birthdays this week. Eric had a nice little back and forth, quite a few backs and forths, actually, with some political debate, so that was good fun. And also,
shocking.
Yes. So to the listeners of OCD&D and the team there, because we've had some great fun, and I can't wait for the next episode, which we're going to be streaming live, hopefully on the 2nd of February. So, and over to you, Greg.
All right. Well, thank you to the three of you. Always a pleasure podcasting with you guys. Big shout outs to Robin, Nicole, and of course Eric Piotrowski. Happy birthday to the three of you. We won't talk about your age anymore, we promise. I want to shout out Jason Johnson. He gave me a nice little compliment. He picked up Red Dead Redemption 2 based on watching me play it on the Extra Life. So,
hope for everyone.
Yep, there is hope for everybody. A big shout out to my Chargers. Even though they didn't show up last week, they played a crappy ass game. I still appreciate the season they had. Maybe next year. And shout out to the Twitch followers and everybody in the chat, all of our, and anybody who participates in this podcast, whether it be on Twitter, on our chat, in our Facebook. We really appreciate the back and forth. We appreciate you guys being part of this bigger community. So thank you for that. And so, yeah, come on, join in next week. Tune in, have some fun, listen to us live. You can do that again at twitch.tv/OC podcast or mixer.com/OC podcast. You can even do it on youtube.com/OC podcast. It's all happening 9 p.m. in the UK, 1 p.m. on the West Coast, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 6 p.m. in Easter Island, 7 a.m. in Australia. Got to wake up with a coffee for that one. And, of course, 3 p.m. in Central Time. And we do like our iTunes reviews. We had a fantastic iTunes review we read out the other week. So, yeah, give us a review there. iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you can give us a review, even on YouTube. Hey, we don't care. Just give us something positive if you can. If you can't, well, hey, hopefully it's constructive. We have clubs. If you want to join us and be part of a gaming session online, best way to do that is join one of our clubs. We've got the OC Podcast Club on Xbox One, the OC Podcast Community on PS4. We've got the OC Podcast Group on Steam. And sadly, we also have a Discord server, OC Podcast Discord server. It's supposedly the future. Actually, it's quite good. Beyond that, this.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter at @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Hey, Mark.
Yes.
Play that funky music.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.